Amen and amen. God bless you. You guys can have a seat for a second. I just want to read to you this morning out of the book of 2 Kings, beginning in chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And the Bible says this: Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master. He was highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but notice this, but, can we all just say but real quick? This but, he had leprosy. Verse 2, now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. She's very important this morning, so pay attention to her. They had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel to serve Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning as we go into our series on growing pains. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of purpose for my pain. How many of you have gone through some painful experience in your lifetime? Show me your hands if you've gone through a pretty painful experience. Okay, so everyone's hands should be up because no one in this life can avoid being hurt. You get hurt by choices you make. You get hurt by choices people make. All the time, all throughout your life, you're going to get through a lot of pain. But a lot of times, this is a misconception that a lot of people, especially in the church, have about painful trials. We think that God is not in them. We think that when we're going under this attack and things are going bad in our lives, oftentimes we say, man, you got to pray for me, Pastor, because the devil is really after me. And he's after my family and my marriage and my children, and everything's going wrong, and I'm going through this sickness, I'm going through all these health issues, these problems, and I just need you to lay hands over me because right now the devil is on the prowl. But what if I told you sometimes pain that you go through has nothing to do with Satan? It has nothing to do with the devil. But sometimes God allows us to go through painful situations because he's trying to correct something within ourselves. See, here's the three areas of pain I want you guys to know. One area of pain is demonic. Yes, devil, all the time. Blame him. Some attacks in your life are completely behind the scenes in the devil's hands. Case in point, Job. A quick summary of Job, a great man of God, but one day he lost his job, his family, he got sick. And we know the truth behind this story. Satan was behind this attack. So that's the first stage, the first level of pain you may be experiencing. Another level of pain is rebellion, choices. So that has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Satan, but everything to do with me. My own choices, my own sin, my own mistakes, my decisions to do what God told me not to do, to rebel against the word of God. The choices you've made in your life can sometimes bring a lot of consequences and pain. For example, King David, his choice to commit adultery, nothing to do with the devil. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible say, and the devil was on the rooftop with David, and the devil made him look, and the devil made Bathsheba open up the windows to expose herself. No, the devil was nowhere around. So we know that this was David's choice to commit the sin of adultery. And as a result, it affected him greatly and his family. To a point that his whole family was divided because of his choices. So this shows you the second stage of pain. Some pain is caused by your own doing. So when you're on this stage, you can't blame God. You can't blame the devil. You could only blame yourself. Are we getting it so far? So yes, we have demonic pain. Then we have your pain that you cause yourself. And then there's godly pain. Now, this is a concept a lot of people in the church aren't even aware of. But what is godly pain? Godly pain is painful experiences that God does allow in order to bring something greater for His glory. So God may allow you to go through something that maybe you don't deserve. It's not fair because I did the right thing. I made the right choices. I was obedient. I followed God. And yet I still go through this trial. It may not even be Satan at all. But sometimes God is behind all the pain that you're going through. But here's the good news. You guys want some good news right now? Whether it's demonic pain, self-inflicted pain from your choices, or godly pain through trials, God is still in control over all three. Oh, that deserves some praise. Come on, God is awesome. No praise? No, you guys got to wake up here. Because understand, if the devil is attacking you, God is still in control. When the devil attacked Job, God still came through and restored him. If you have made a poor choice like David, God was still in control, forgave him, and restored his family. And if God is the one behind the pain right now, well, he's up to something good. When it comes to pain, a lot of people aren't aware, why am I going through this? Why is God allowing this? But you have to ask yourself those three questions. Number one, could this be demonic? Number two, could this be something that I've done? And why I'm going through this? Or number three, could this simply be something God is allowing to teach me something in my life? So when we look at this man Naaman, he's going through this painful trial. But this painful trial was under stage number three. God allowed Naaman to go through leprosy because God was trying to grab his attention. Now, Naaman was a great man. The Bible says people loved him. They respected him. So anytime Naaman walked around, everyone would be like, man, look at him. Look at him. Look at Naaman. Oh, Naaman's here. And everyone would applaud. And people would be talking about him. Oh, I heard he killed this many people. And I heard he overcame this. So everyone looked up to Naaman. See, this is what I noticed, though. Even though he was a great man, even though people loved him and people respected him, the Bible says something. It says, in the sight of man, people respected him. In the sight of man, people said he was great. But here's the problem with Naaman. He only looked great, but he wasn't. It was all sight. It was all show. They saw a warrior. They saw a commander. They saw a great, mighty, brave man. But no one knew that behind the exterior, behind the armor that he wore, was a man dying. Was a man that was sick. Was a man that had problems. That was hopeless. Struggling at home. So I wonder, as I read this, how many people look great but aren't? How many people respect you, look up to you, honor you, but deep down inside there's a still small voice that says, if you only knew who I really was, if you only knew what I was really going through. It was all sight. He would put on this armor to hide the reality of what he was really going through. He was hiding his problem because here's the sad thing. He knew that if the truth was exposed, he would lose the favor of everyone. No one would love him. No one would respect him. So he resolved to only look great while still dying on the inside. There's so many people in the church that live just like Naaman. You see, we're so concerned with only looking great and looking strong and smiling and appearing to be faithful, but and it's all sight. But underneath everything that you're showing people at work or at your home or in church even, underneath all of that, there might be a broken person. You might be dealing with pain. You might be dealing with fear. You might be dealing with secret sins and struggles and addiction. But when it's Sunday morning, your best outfit is the armor you put on that convinces everyone that you are okay. That you're great. There's the family armor. Just because you ride in a car together doesn't mean you are together. Amen? Just because you hold hands with your spouse doesn't mean everything's great in your marriage. The family armor is the armor families put on to show everyone that they're okay. Hey, you might as well call us the Brady Bunch. We're so awesome. But notice the armor came off when Naaman got home. And I wonder, that family that looks so great and those kids that are so wonderful, because you know your kids are the best, and your marriage that's so loving, what happens at home when the armor comes off? That same couple is contemplating divorce, constantly in strife, fighting, bickering. Those same children want nothing to do with you. They're rebellious. They're not obedient. All the family is divided. The only thing families know how to do today is look like they're not divided. Am I preaching to someone this morning? There's the emotional armor. This is the armor that you put on with a smile. You put on with laughter. You put on with confidence. And everyone thinks you're fine. And everyone looks at you and you look great. But it's all sight. Because deep down inside, you might be struggling with insecurity. You might be struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness. You may be struggling with depression and discouragement. But when it comes time to be around other people, the armor gets put on, and now it's time for the show. And no one would ever know that you think about suicide. No one would ever know that you're lonely. No one would ever know what you really emotionally feel, because outside of the exterior, you're all smile and laughter. So that's the emotional. My favorite armor, you might have put it on this morning. And it's called the church armor. There she is. The church armor is the armor you put on when it's Wednesday night Bible study, or when it's Sunday morning at Forward, and it's time to worship with Frankie, and it's time to study the Bible with Pastor David, and when Frankie's singing, there goes the arms, your little armor arms, woo, and you're worshiping, and you're praising, and when you're listening to Pastor speak, you're like, amen, yeah, I like that, but deep down inside, you don't have a personal relationship with God. Sunday morning is the closest you ever get to God. And you don't pray. You don't search God for yourself. You're struggling spiritually. But everyone looks at you and says, look how great their relationship is with the Lord. They're so close to God. Look how spiritual. How many ministries do you do already? Because you know that there's the ministry armor too. And you can be serving and working hard, but underneath, you know, it's all sight. The hardest thing about armor is how much heavier it gets the longer you have it on. And I want to tell you the truth. If you want to be only concerned with looking great, convincing others you're fine, but yet struggling on the inside with a little flesh issue like Naaman had,
There's only a matter of time that you're going to feel the pressure of only looking good. You're going to feel the heaviness of only appearing righteous. You're going to feel the destruction of only trying to convince people you are what you know you're not. There's a lot of pressure in looking good. Amen, ladies? I tell you, my mom went to Publix and put on makeup. And I'm just thinking, I don't get it. Guys, we are blessed. You know, huge difference between my dad and my mom. Dad can literally get out of bed and say, I'm going to Publix. Mom says, I'm going to Publix. Going to Publix. Fixing. You never know who you're going to run into. And she's always right. We're always running into someone. But there's a lot of pressure in looking good. But the point is, when you're trying to look good all the time, and you're so focused on just convincing everyone, it becomes a problem. Because there's so much heaviness that comes when only trying to look the part, trying to look good, trying to look happy, trying to look faithful, trying to look strong, but on the inside, like Naaman, you're dying inside. There's a flesh problem. And here's a problem with God when he says this in regards to the sight. 1 Samuel 16:7. We read this scripture, I've heard it preached, but we preach it the wrong way. 1 Samuel chapter 16:7, as David was being chosen to be king, and Samuel looks at him, all of a sudden, as he's looking through the brothers, he sees the real strong, the real handsome, the real tall brothers, and he thinks, man, this is the one, because he looks strong, he looks good, he looks like a king. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his what? What's appearance? Outside. Do not consider his appearance or his height. This is great advice if you're single too. Do not consider only the appearance or his height. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not what? He does not look at the thing man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. This is what God says. I don't do things like you do. I don't think like people. People look at someone. If they look good, they're convinced they're good. If they look right, they're convinced they're all right. But God says, here's the problem with that. I don't have the capability, the ability to only look at the outside and say, you're fine. The fact is, I also look at the heart. And we read this verse and we say, wow, that's so beautiful. God is, he's in my heart. Glory to God. And I read this verse and I was like, this is frightening. Because you know what God says here in the David version of the Bible? I can see right through you. I can see right through you. You ain't fooling anyone. You might be tricking everyone. You might be lying to everyone. But I see right through you, and you're not getting past me. You may look the part. You may try to act the part. You may speak the part. But I know who you really are. And God can see right through all of us right now. How frightening is that? That he can see right through the show. He can see right behind the curtains when it's time to perform. In fact, God works backstage. He knows what really goes on the inside. It's not always about looking right with God. See, God sees like Naaman his flesh issue, but he wants to correct it. When God looks at you, he doesn't say, well, They're struggling with sin. They're heavy with addiction. Their life is broken. Everything's falling apart. But hey, they look great this morning in church. He's not concerned with that. See, God wants you to not only look good, He wants you to be good. Not only to look right, but to get right. And He knows it's a matter of the heart. It's a heart issue. The Lord can see right through you. And that frightens me, because how many times do you do something out of wrong motives? And God sees through it. How many times you say, "Hey girl, how are you? Good to see you." And the way they're gone, "Oh my gosh, I can't stand him." God sees that. How many times do we think we're getting past God? But He knows our hearts. He sees what we're really going through. See, God says in this verse, what matters to me most is not what you look like. What matters to me most is your heart. And I believe as Christians, what should matter to us is what matters to God. And if God thinks our heart is more important than our looks, shouldn't we have the same perception? Shouldn't we have the same determination to work on the inside of us instead of just putting on the armor every day, looking strong? This is why God allowed leprosy in His life. He was using this pain and this struggle to draw Him near to Him. Because leprosy had no cure. Leprosy had no solution. See, so sometimes God will put you, like Naaman, in a predicament where only He, God Almighty, can save you. Only He can deliver you. So no person's going to help you. No amount of money's going to help you. No pleasure's going to get you out of it. No person, no job, no nothing. God says, "I allow this pain and this struggle because this is what's going to get you to search for Me." And I know it doesn't seem right, but a lot of people come to God in crisis. And maybe that's why God allows it. He allowed the pain and the struggle to draw Him near. You're saying, "Well, Pastor, why? Why couldn't He just, you know, heal him?" Because He had to go through it. But here's the reason why God allowed the struggle. God did not just want to change His problem. He wanted to change His whole life. You guys getting that this morning? God doesn't just want to change one problem in your life. He wants to change your entire life. He's not just focused on the sickness you have. His main priority is not the debt you're in, or the problem with your relationships, or whatever you're struggling with. God's main focus is changing your entire life. But we go to Him to change a problem. But why don't you go to God and say, "Lord, change my life"? But here's the thing. In order for God to change your life, He has to do it by changing you. If you don't change, your life will never change. And that's why we don't grab it. We go to God and say, "Change my life. Change this circumstance. Change this. I don't like this." But God says, "I can't change that until I change you." So we know that God wanted to change the life of Naaman, but He first had to change Naaman and his issue underneath the armor. The flesh issue. Apply it to you right now. before God can change your life and bless you on the outside, He needs to change you on the inside. And if that doesn't change on the inside, you're going to spend your whole life just wearing armor and wearing yourself out. You must understand this, church. You have to get this to be blessed. When you don't change what's bad on the inside, it will make everything worse on the outside. You say, well, Pastor, what does that look like? I'm glad you're asking me. Because we people tell me all the time, oh man, everything's so bad. My marriage is bad, my kids are bad, my job is bad, everything's bad. Are you bad? No. I'm good. I don't get it. But here's the problem. We want God to change our lives, but we don't want to change for Him. And it doesn't work that way. So God says, I'm going to put you in this situation that's going to develop your character, that's going to get you closer to me and change you from the inside out. Because God does not work from the outside in, He works from the inside out. That's why Jesus comes to live on the inside and not just the outside. Because a product of salvation is Christ inside you, showing itself outwardly. You say, well, Pastor, show me. You're my pastor, right? Teach me. How do I change? Well, let's play this little game with these cups. I have a cup of water here that's pretty dirty. This is Hialeah water. I'm just kidding. So I'm about to drink this, and I say, man, this cup is disgusting. Look at the water, how filthy. I can't drink this. So I poured in this. And I said, whew, that was a close one. You're like, whoa, David, wait, Pastor. No, you can't drink that either. It's still dirty. Oh, man, thank you. I didn't notice. This is still dirty. Oh, man, glad you told me. And I transferred to another one. Man, thanks for looking out. No, Pastor, that one's still dirty. What's the problem? I'm changing cups, but I'm not changing the water. And this is what people do to God. You see, let me put this as your life. Oh my gosh, my life is terrible. Look at my job. I can't stand my job. I work so much and no one says thank you. By the way, your thank you is your paycheck. Get over it. no one appreciates me. And I go out to work every day and I'm tired. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to change jobs. You go to another job. Oh my gosh, this one's worse. The people are even worse and no one talks to me and everyone's so rude and the kind of, oh, I'm just going to change my other job. And you keep changing jobs. And you never find happiness. People do this when they're married. My marriage is horrible. It's so bad. We're fighting all the time. There's no more love. There's no more companionship. I need a new spouse. Oh my gosh, you're just like my ex. What is wrong? I can't find a good man in this place. I'm just going to jump to another relationship. Oh my goodness, there's another bad one. And you keep jumping, especially if you're single, from relationship to relationship, from marriage to marriage. You're jumping all the time. Here's my favorite, absolute favorite. Oh my gosh, this church is horrible. The pastor preaches so harsh. He doesn't make me feel good. No one said hi to me this morning. I'm going to change churches. I don't like this one either. Oh my gosh, let me just find another one. I'm just going to church hop. Hoppity hop all throughout Miami, all the churches. I can't find a good church. We got to start praying for revival. And all along, you're only changing cups. And you're miserable. Because we don't realize the problem is not the cup. The problem is what's inside it. Let me hit you with truth. The problem is not your life. The problem is you. Your contaminated marriage, if you don't change you, you're only going to bring it to the next marriage. Your terrible job that doesn't make you happy and you just quit and go to the next one, you're going to be just as unhappy in the next one. Because we're creatures of change. And we're no longer people of commitment. What's crazy is, you know what I read? In the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, up to the 90s, church members stayed in one church for 30 plus years. Today, the average person stays in the church 6 months. What's the problem? The person, not the church. Why? Because this generation coming up says, if I don't like it, I'm going to change it. If I get offended, I'm out. If things don't go my way, I'm going to leave. But let me tell you, if you're here at Forward for 30 years, you're going to go through some stuff. I'm going to offend you at least one point. I know it. So we go to God and we say, God, change my life. And God says, I got to change you. So when God comes in, he says, okay, I'll change you. I'm going to pour myself into you. And when I do, you're going to get clean. So now wherever you go to, you're fine. You go to a new job, you're okay. You get into a relationship, you're fine. Whatever life hands you, you're okay. The contamination is gone. Because now you're going in the right direction because you're a right person. You no longer have that bitterness because now you're content. You're grateful. You're thankful. You no longer have that struggle in your marriage because now you're compassionate. You're kind. You're submissive. You're submitting to one another. You're serving one another. So you keep telling God everything is so bad. Ask yourself, is it me or is it God that's bad? Is it me or is it my life that's bad? Ask yourself like David, is there anything inside me, Lord, that doesn't honor you? Why not pray that once in a while? You may be surprised that God says, oh yeah, a lot. But God is always willing to change it. You say, well, Pastor, how do I change? I want to see my life change. Well, we understand that life can only change when a person changes. So it's not going to be a new environment that's going to help you. It's not going to be a new relationship that gives you peace. It's not that new job. It's not that new hobby. It's the new you that's going to bless you. That's going to create this life of peace and satisfaction and joy that our life and our society has lost. You're saying, well, Pastor, how do I do it? Well, through the story of Naaman, the Lord showed me three simple principles to change your life forever. Do you want them? I want to tell you, if you get this, it will change your life. But it's not easy. You know what really bothers me sometimes when I hear a pastor or someone teaching or someone say, if you want to change your life, just ask God. Just pray. That is so far from the truth. Here's why. Number one, as we go back to the story of Naaman, I want to read verse 2 and 3. Now bands from Aram had gone out, had taken captive now this young girl from Israel. She was a godly girl. To serve Naaman's wife, she said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet. You know, when I read that, I said, What an amazing girl. If this girl was captured at forward, that girl would have been complaining the whole time. That girl would have been fighting Naaman all the time, saying, take me back, take me back. I'm not serving you, take me back. She would have been cray-cray the whole time. But notice what this girl did. She was taken captive by force, so she lost her home, she lost her family, she probably lost her boyfriend, she lost her life, she lost everything, and she was a child of God. And God had a purpose for her loss, just like He has a purpose for yours. You see, God wanted to change Naaman, so He allowed this struggle in this young girl's life to get this girl in Naaman's house. And I never heard in the story she complained. She was bitter. She was angry. In fact, the Bible says she went up to her master and said, you know, I think God can fix your husband. Which shows me something powerful. In the midst of her struggle, her pain, her loss, her suffering, rather than complaining and being a victim and bitter, she used this pain as a time to see, what can God do through me in this situation? How can God use me right now? What is God trying to do? I'm here for a reason. So number one, if you want to see change in your life, this is what you don't do. This is what the list is. What you don't do to change. Stop being a victim. Stop telling everyone how bad it was. Stop complaining. Release that bitterness and that anger and that resentment. And learn to ask yourself, even though I don't like this, even though I'm struggling right now, what is God trying to do in this? What is He trying to teach me? What is He trying to use? How is He trying to use me in this situation? And rather than just complaining about your problem, pray and ask God to do something that brings Him glory in it. See, this girl never argued, never complained. In fact, she wanted to bless the very person that caused her the pain in the first place. Are you that mature? Do you love God that much? Because Naaman was the reason she lost her family. Naaman was the reason she was taken captive. Naaman was the reason that she lost everything. And yet she looks at Naaman and says, how can I bless him? How can we change him? Do you have that type of love for the Naamans in your life that have taken from you? If you want to see your life change, get rid of bitterness. Get rid of complaining, and you are not a victim. That mentality is going to only defeat you more and more. And begin to use your pain to bless others. Begin to use the cancer God gave you to bless others. Begin to use the marital problems you came out of to bless other marriages. Use the pain God has given you for His glory. Because someone else is going through what you just got out of. And that's why God puts you in a situation where someone's going to need Him. So watch your attitude. And let God use your pain. So get over it. Remind your neighbor right now, look at them and say, hey, get over it. Because God is going to do something great through your pain. Number two, she was an Israelite that was captured during battle. What's interesting, as this young girl tells his wife, and Naaman's wife tells him, listen, there's a man of God in Samaria. You need to go back to Samaria and you got to find them and he'll heal you. As I read that, I got to tell you, it taught me something that I want to teach you today. And I'm just going to say it right clearly. Stop fighting God. Stop fighting Him. The first time He was in that region, it was during a battle, fighting the people of Israel. The second time He will go there, it wouldn't be to fight. It would be to submit and ask God to heal. If you want to see your life change, you need to stop fighting God, go back to Him, and submit. Stop fighting what God is telling you to change. Stop fighting what He's trying to tell you to get rid of. Stop fighting God and telling Him He's wrong. And get back to Him. And say, "Help me. I'll do what you say." It was so hard for Naaman to go back and just humble himself. So if you want to see change in your life, stop fighting God. When God tells you you need to get back to church, don't you fight it. When God says you need to forgive that person, don't you fight Him. When God says you need to give, you need to serve, you need to love, you need to obey, don't fight Him. And get into a place of full submission under the authority of a divine God. That's the only way you're going to see deliverance. If God is the only one that can help you, you better do as He says. Amen. So Naaman goes back humbled, without fighting. And things get worse. So one, stop complaining and allow yourself to let God use your pain for purpose and to teach you. Number two, stop fighting Him. Submit and do as He says. Number three, let's read verse 9. So Naaman went with the horses and the chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." See, if I'm Naaman, I'm like, what a great deal. You mean all I have to do is go to this river and bathe and all my problems will be gone? You're like, man, this is great. But Naaman went away angry. Because he felt entitled. And if you want to see your life change, get rid of your entitlement. Naaman went away angry and said, well, I thought he would have surely come out to meet me and at least call on the name of the Lord and his God, and maybe he should have at least waved his hands around and he would have cured me. So Naaman taught me something great. God is not going to do it the way you expect Him to. What I love about this, it's going to be so hard for you to listen. It may be the last time I see you. It gets exhausting when people think that they can pray themselves out of a problem and not do any work. That's what Naaman wanted. He wanted it easy. And today in church, people want God to change and bless them, but they don't want to work for it. In fact, in the church, it's almost a taboo topic and a bad word to use the word works, isn't it? Yes, you're not saved by works, but you are blessed by them. Why aren't we teaching that anymore? You know what Naaman said? Well, listen, I just thought that you could have come outside and waved your hands and then prayed over me, and I would have been fine. I wish it would have been easier. And so many people can, Pastor, can you pray over me? Can you pray over me? There's a prayer over me. I'd love to pray over you, but what are you going to do? I'll pray over you all day, but you're going to go back to those drugs and alcohol? I'll pray over you all day, but you're going to go back to an adulterous affair? I'm going to pray all day, but you're going to stay bitter? You're going to stay unforgiving? I'll pray for you all day, but you're not going to get over your past and your guilt? Naaman wanted it easy. God, can't you just do it? Yeah, he can. But then you won't appreciate God. So if you're thinking that you're going to change and it's going to be easy, get ready to do some work. What, you think that you're going to pray and God's going to make you all of a sudden knowledgeable of the Bible? That takes work. Come on Wednesday nights, you'll see. You think that you're going to pray and God's going to give you patience and love and tenderness and kindness? That takes work. You're going to pray, oh God, fix my family. That takes work. It takes work to raise a family. I can't last in there a minute. I'm out. It takes work. We're great at praying, but we've lost the enthusiasm of working to what we want God to do. So he got so mad because he thought it would just be a simple prayer. And I hate to tell you this, but life doesn't change by a simple prayer. It starts with prayer, but it takes work. So work it. Turn to your neighbor and say, work it. Snap the finger. Work it. And stop complaining. God's not going to just do it. You got to do the work. So, breaking it down. One, stop complaining and let God use your pain for a purpose. Like the little girl. Number two, understand this. You got to stop fighting God. If you're tired of your life and you know where you're going wrong, but you're not doing it, you're fighting God. Number three, it's not going to be easy. It's not just going to be with a prayer. You're going to have to put in the work and the effort. Number four, and I'll close with this. Because when we tell God, well, God, I'll just pray for it and it's going to happen. God is not just going to do it. When you pray for God to change your finances, you're going to wake up and your bank account is still going to be empty. Because you got to put in the work to be a good steward of your finances. You want God to bless your finances, cut the credit card. You pray for your health, but you still want the cookie. I did, Jenny. You're like, Lord, make me healthy. It's not going to happen. You got to put in the work. That's why, you know, my mom is my gym partner now. Yeah, she is. We're working out together. But she's not just praying for it anymore. She's sweating for it. God bless my marriage. Takes work. The easiest things in marriage, you want to know what the easiest thing about your marriage was? The vows you said. Everything else takes work. Till death do we part. Great. Can I murder them? Marriage is hard. Parenting. Lord, bless my children. But what kind of example are you giving your children? What are you working with? Lord, I'm alone. I'm single. Bless me with a relationship. Are you ready for one? Because you might look good on the outside, but your heart stank. Lord, help me with my addictions. But you still want to be in the environment. See, we got to stop convincing ourselves that it's only going to take prayer. And I'm not saying that God can't do it only through prayer. There's a lot of things God can do just through prayer. But what he doesn't do just through prayer is because God wants you to work at it in some time, some area. My fourth and final advice for you, if you want to change, it says it in verse 14. So when he went down, he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored, and he became clean, like that of a young boy. You know what I love about this? He didn't only get clean. The Bible emphasizes that he was better than before. Do you want to be better than before? Do you want to get clean? Do you want to be restored? Start dipping. I want to tell you, number four, don't give up. See, it must have been so discouraging for Naaman to get in that water, and he dipped 1 time, came out, and he looked at himself, and he was still sick. Then he dipped himself again, and he was still there. And he goes, okay, 3rd time's a charm. He dips himself again, and he got up, and he looks at his servant. Anything? He's like, no. Keep going. Okay, and he dips himself a 4th time. What about now? No, Naaman. Keep dunking. And he goes a 5th time. What about no, Naaman? Keep going. And a 6th time, like, oh, I gotta give up already. I've done it 6 times. And he says, 1 more time. And the 7th time, he comes up. And he's restored. Some of you might be on your 1st dip, your 2nd dip, your 3rd dip. You keep failing and failing and failing. You keep dipping. Because number 7 is coming. The number 7 in the Bible is a number of perfection. What is dipping? Up and down. Let me tell you what life with Jesus is like. It's up and down. Up and down. But one day, you're going to hit perfection in heaven. That's the story of Naaman. You will get clean. Your flesh will be conquered. You will be restored. If you stop complaining, if you stop fighting God, if you don't give up, you'll see God come through for you. It won't be easy. It's not just going to happen. But see, Naaman got this flesh issue because God now not only restored his physical problem, but he restored and he got him to a position now where he really saw who God was. You know, when Naaman told Elisha's servant, well, can't you just tell your God just bless me? Did you all notice he said, your God, not mine? But after he got healed, he became his God. That's why God allowed the leprosy. Because he wants to be your God, and he's trying to take your attention. And he's trying to draw you to him. He said it in a mocking tone. When you read it in the Hebrew, it's a mock. Can't your God just wave his hand and heal me? It's funny that we can make fun of God till he's all we have. We can reject God till he's all we need. But God will always receive you with like Naaman, and you stop fighting him and submit to him. So stop fighting him. Get submissive and obey him. Stop thinking that you're just going to pray yourself out of this one and get to work. And keep dipping. Keep dipping. If you have anyone around you right now, just grab them right now by the hand. Go ahead, let's all stand up today. Let's pray together that we be a dipping church. through the ups and downs, we keep going till number seven comes. I want to pray for you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, take a moment to get real with God. Take the armor off right now. And tell God who you really are, because He already knows. Tell God what you can't do. Leprosy cannot be healed, yet it was healed by God. So tell God right now, Lord, only You can do this. Because I can't. I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of being strong. I'm tired of looking the part, but not being it. Take the armor off, church. Confess to the Lord right now. Underneath all of that exterior, what's really going on the inside? What is your flesh issue? As we pray together, Father, I just ask You this morning for anyone here that has an armor that's too heavy to bear, that they're tired of just looking strong and looking spiritual. They're tired of just changing cups. They're just tired, God. I pray for this church, for the issues of flesh that have just taken over, Lord, that You would clean that up and restore it. God, I just ask You for a miracle for our church family. You would change them from the inside out. Give us the grace not to complain when You don't do it our way. And like this girl, help us to see the purpose behind what we're going through, not to get bitter. Father, we just pray for forgiveness if we've been fighting You about something. And I pray for the spirit of humility to enter this church and this people as we come before You in full submission, recognizing our need for You. Give us the grace we need, Father, to get under Your authority and stop fighting You for the things we need to change. Forgive us for just praying for something we don't want to work for. For taking advantage of Your power, almost like if we can just go to You with anything and You're just going to do it. But give us the courage to do it. And give us the strength not to give up. As life right now, Lord, we're just dipping all day. We're going up and down and up and down. But Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, number seven will come to your life. You're going to see the perfection of God in your life. And in Jesus' name, let all families and marriages in this church be restored. Let everyone here who is struggling be clean. As we come to You now, removing the armor, we surrender. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Give God some praise this morning.